Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women in Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Esther, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, Eric. You know, when I was doing my time planning for the week on Sunday, I was happily doing it. And then by the time I finished, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a horrible week. But I still made myself get out this morning and do my walk and get outside. It was a walk run. And, you know, that just helps. It's a good, bad thing about exercise, isn't it? You know it's going to help, but you're like, oh, and then you do it and it's like, oh, this really helps. So yeah. I am doing well. How about you?
Good. No, I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to today's podcast. I know that you've got a guest on and
you, I do.
Yeah, you're giving me the privilege of reading a short bio about her.
Yes.
All right. Well,
please,
today you've got Susan Lucas. Sorry. What was that?
Sorry.
Okay. Stop. That's okay. So today you've got Susan Lucas, and Susan is a licensed insurance agent specializing in Medicare education and benefits with licenses in California, Nevada, Florida, and Maine. Susan's focus is helping Medicare beneficiaries and people who are turning 65 find the right benefits for their health needs and budget. And that sounds right up your alley, Esther. So I'm assuming you brought her on the show today to talk about this.
Absolutely. It's there's so much to consider with this. And Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. We've worked together on several client cases, and I know how diligent you are in covering this. And, you know, when I was coming up in financial planning, it was very easy just to say, okay, Medicare, okay, at 65, flip this switch, and that's how much the costs are going to be, and there it is. And it was my naivete at the time, and it's also the awareness that even with all the changes in pricing and the choices of availability, it's become a much more complex transition. So thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
We're going to start with, when people are approaching age 65, can you talk a bit about what they should consider with regards to Medicare planning?
Sure. These days, there's a lot to consider when you're turning 65. A lot of people are still working when they turn 65. Mm-hmm. So you have the option to remain on employee benefits that you may have through your employer, or to switch to the Medicare system. And by changing to Medicare, that, you know, opens up a whole new world of health benefits that you're not familiar with. So I do suggest people start looking into that about 6 months before their birthday. And I also suggest that you do find an agent who can help you with this, because it's not a very simple and easy system to navigate on your own.
Yeah, and that's certainly been true, that you don't just alert. I mean, what Social Security says to do is, right, just, you know, you go on SSA.gov and say, hey, I'm turning 65 in 3 months, right? That's basically what it looks like initially from the consumer side, or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's basically it from the consumer side. If a person is already receiving Social Security benefits, then their enrollment in Medicare is pretty fluid. There's not much they need to do. About 3 months, or definitely 2 months before their 65th birthday, they'll receive their Medicare card in the mail. But again, if you're still working, that doesn't happen. None of that automated system for Medicare takes place. You actually have to initiate your enrollment, and you have a specific time frame to be able to do that within, without having any penalties later on.
Yeah, so talk about the penalties. What happens if someone just wasn't aware of that, assumed it would all happen, and never sets themselves up?
Yeah, so the penalties are a bane to everybody, unfortunately. But the main penalties that you have to be aware of are for your Part B, like boy, which is provided by the government, and that covers your preventative care and doctor's visits, lab work, all of the kinds of things that are provided as an outpatient. And if you don't enroll in Part B when you are initially eligible at age 65 and you don't have any other health insurance, like through an employer or a union or through a spouse, then there is a 10% penalty for every 12 months that you don't have benefits. And then there is also a penalty for Part D for drugs. And that penalty is 1% for every month that you go without having any kind of prescription drug coverage. And just so you know, they don't care if you don't take any medications. They still want you to have coverage for it. So that penalty really adds up quite extensively, because it is based on the national average premium for prescription drug coverage, which I'm going to say is approximately $35 a month. So every month, you're accumulating 10% of $35. And that continues to accumulate, and it never goes away.
So it doesn't go away even when you sign up for Part D?
No, it does not go away. It continues to be an additional premium, or not premium, but penalty that you pay for the rest of your life.
And that's pretty steep. So that's the first thing, be sure. Yes. I mean, it just it's, and it would, well, anyway, that just is annoying that it's there. So for both of them, Part B and D. So what, let's talk a little bit about what is covered. You explained for Medicare Part B, the preventative care and
correct,
the doctor's visits, the outpatient. Anything else on Part B?
Oh, well, there's a whole list of things on Part B that are covered, but it's basically all of your outpatient care that is provided for your basic medical needs. Now, that doesn't include any vision, dental, or hearing care necessarily. So those are things that you also need to be aware of and make plans for. And then the other part that I haven't mentioned of Medicare yet is the Part A. Part A is for your inpatient hospital care. It's basically your room and board if you are admitted to the hospital.
Okay, and then how does, in terms of inpatient hospital care, how does that work in the event that someone has like a long-term care need, they need to go to a nursing facility or a rehab facility?
That's another one of those sticky things that's not really covered under Medicare, unfortunately. So when we say inpatient hospital care, that is for in the hospital only. It does not include long-term care, which would be often provided at some kind of a specialty nursing facility like that. And long-term care is something that you need to plan for outside of your Medicare benefits. You can sometimes get some short-term skilled nursing coverage through Medicare, but it has to be on a need basis and recommended by your primary or specialist doctor in order for you to be able to get coverage for that.
And what, describe short-term, like what is short-term?
So a short-term, in the last month, I've had 3 friends and clients break their hip.
Holy cow.
Of course, they had to have emergency surgery, which did land them in the hospital for, I think most of them were there for about a week. And then depending on their recovery rate, whether they could go home or not, and in some cases they couldn't, so they ended up in what we call skilled nursing or rehab, I guess would be another word for it, where they were there for another 2 to 3 weeks to help with the recovery process and being able to make sure they could safely get up and walk and, you know, transfer and those daily living activities that are so important.
And of that, Medicare would cover that or not?
They would cover, so the first 20 days of skilled nursing or rehab would be covered, and then after that there would be a fee, and that will vary depending on your insurance cover.
So let's go back and talk a bit about this planning. It's certainly something from when we're working with someone, and from, you know, it doesn't have to obviously be from 65, from before when they're planning their retirement. We're looking at Medicare planning as well and estimating the costs that they'll have. But can you talk about it from your side if when you encounter an individual who's turning 65 in, you know, 3 to 6 months, what is your approach?
So my approach first is to find out a little bit about their health. How they're doing. If they're very healthy still, then great. It's going to be probably a lot easier for them. But part of that is also finding out, you know, what their financial situation is like, doctors and medications, how many doctors and medications they're taking, and all of that plays a part in finding the right plan for their needs. But for people, you know, who are maybe more financially well off, it's looking at, you know, how much they can afford on a monthly basis and if there might be some additional charges that Medicare will assess to them because they have a higher income. And then on the other end of the spectrum, for people who have lower incomes, then I'm looking at usually different types of plans or options for them that are going to be lower cost, might include helping them apply for what we call Extra Help, which is a federal program to help with prescription drug coverage, and also state help through the Medicaid. We call it Medi-Cal here in California, but the rest of the country mostly calls it Medicaid, and helping them with those applications as well as getting their Medicare taken care of.
So it's a pretty involved process of reviewing not just their health, but also their financial situation, because there is that, those four letters, IRMA, IRMA. Can you talk a bit more about that and how that impacts Medicare premiums?
Yes. So the IRMA is another one of those things that is, I guess it's fair, but it doesn't seem fair. So when people have a higher income level, Medicare thinks that, well, they can help cover some of the costs that some of the lower income people can't pay. So they assess an additional amount to their monthly Part B and Part D premiums. And that is completely based on income for an individual. And this number may not be exactly right, but for an individual, I believe that's $85,000. If you make over that, then you will have an IRMA. And for couples, oh, I forget the number off the top of my head. I want to say $175,000 or something close to that. And this is also based on the 2 years previous tax return. So for this year, people would still be looking, or Medicare rather, would still be looking at your 2019 taxes. So that's where they're getting the information for to decide whether or not you'll have an IRMA.
Yeah, and actually, you're right on track there with your estimates there for 2021. Single is up to $88,000, and married filing jointly is $176,000. So you were right on there. And
I was really close. Thank you.
You were. And I had the good fortune of being able to Google that real quick. Now, when it does look back to 2 years ago, so we're recording this in 2021, so the Social Security is looking and for the purposes of determining Medicare premiums, looking back 2 years to 2019 tax returns, what happens if people had an unusually high income year in 2019, i.e. they maybe sold their home and had a large capital gain or something of that nature? Is there any way to address that, just anomaly of income?
Yes. So that is a great question. And there is an option to address that through Social Security. There is a form called the SSA 44. And when you submit that form, it's basically a form that says you've had a change in circumstances, financial circumstances, and you're basically requesting Medicare to reduce your premium because they've assessed this IRMA to you. And a couple of the reasons that people can check off on that form are, of course, loss of work. That's one. And receiving an inheritance is another big thing that happens to people at this age. And then, as you mentioned, selling a home or having a property sell that you've made a large amount of income on. Those changes, you can petition Medicare to reduce your premium or IRMA on. And of course, they still have the option to say no.
And do you have a sense? I know with COVID and still many of these government organizations, people working from home, what the turnaround is? Do you have any sense of that on getting a response from Social Security?
You know, I actually don't have a sense on that. But what I can say about the IRMA is that it is reassessed on an annual basis. So even if you have an IRMA in this year, 2021, because of your 2019 taxes, they are going to go back again next year in 2022 and then look at your 2020 taxes. And if they see your income has dropped drastically, your Medicare premiums will also be dropped, or that IRMA may completely disappear.
And you don't get a credit for previous IRMA
no,
that you
there's
paid,
no
right?
credit. They just reassess the premium that you will pay going forward.
And so let's shift gears a little bit to those who are currently on Medicare, because you're coming up on this open enrollment period. Can you talk a bit about that and what that's like for those already receiving Medicare benefits?
Yes. So the annual enrollment period is every year from October 15 through December 7th. New Medicare Advantage and prescription drug plans or changes to existing plans are introduced by each carrier on October 1st. So that gives all current beneficiaries the opportunity to review their current plan, see if there are any changes in premiums or copays or any kinds of changes at all. Sometimes doctor networks change for a plan. So it's your opportunity to see if any kinds of changes are happening with your network and the premiums and copays. And then it's also an opportunity to review your prescription drug coverage. Because let's face it, prescription drug coverage, it can change anytime throughout the year, not only with these companies, but your personal needs may have changed. And maybe you find that you're on a medication that your plan that you enrolled in previously or the year before doesn't cover that medication. So now is your opportunity in October through December 7th to review those plans and make changes that will go into effect for January 1st of the following year. So I spend a lot of time with my clients, especially reviewing prescription drug coverage, because that one's probably the area where we see the most changes because the industry is moving so fast. But I also do a lot of changes because sometimes plan premiums change. And again, like I said, network is an important factor for a lot of people in making sure that they can maintain the doctor relationships and the specialist relationships that they're familiar with.
Right. And it is complex. Anything. I had a client recently send me a note. Hey, I think I want to change. She's pre-Medicare. I think I want to change my health insurance plans. Can you just take a look at this? And I had to say, you know, if anything isn't just like looking at auto or home insurance or something. You know, you just tweak this and that'll reduce that. It's much more complex. Yeah, much more complicated. And the other thing is, we haven't talked about it yet. In either case, for those who are either renewing or about to enter the Medicare system, can you talk a little bit about the difference between Medicare Advantage programs and a Medicare supplement?
Yes. So Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement are two very, very different options that you have when you become eligible or as an already eligible Medicare beneficiary. A Medicare Supplement is a lettered plan. There are about 10 of them available nationwide. And so they have a lettered name like Plan A, Plan F, Plan G, Plan N are some of the familiar ones. And those plans do exactly what the name says. They supplement or they fill in the gaps of what Medicare, your original Medicare A and B, does not cover. So they're also commonly called Medigap plans. And the premiums on a Medicare supplement or Medigap plan are much higher generally than a Medicare Advantage plan. And then you also need to have a separate prescription drug plan so that you are fully covered under Medicare and don't incur any penalties. Now, the Medicare Advantage plans are what they also call a Part C plan. That's C like Charlie. And they are, all of the plans, by the way, are provided by private insurance carriers. But Medicare Advantage plans, the insurance carrier basically takes over the administration of all of your benefits, including your Part A and your Part B. You do have to continue to pay that Part B premium, but the Medicare Advantage plan is going to be providing all of your care. They usually have much lower premiums than a Medicare supplement plan, and almost all Medicare Advantage plans, with a few exceptions, include Part D. So everything is wrapped all into one package. Most of these plans are referred to as an HMO, which is a health maintenance organization, or a PPO, which is a preferred provider organization. So there is a specific network and service area that you have to stay within when you're on a Medicare Advantage plan. With the Medicare supplement plan, you can have that type of plan anywhere in the country and you'll have coverage.
So the Medicare Advantage sounds great until you get to that part in terms of choices.
Yeah, and so in most cases, people don't use a Medicare supplement the way that it was originally intended to be used most of the time anyway, so it's not usually a big issue. But for people who have let's say they have multiple homes in different parts of, in California, mm-hmm. we're big enough that it could even be different parts of California. You've got mm-hmm. a home down in San Diego and a home up here in the Bay Area. That's a large enough distance that you would want to be able to see doctors in both of those places. A Medicare supplement is going to give you the flexibility to be able to do that. And if you have homes in different states, then that also provides you that flexibility so that you can have doctor relationships in any area that you live, and it's not going to be an out-of-network issue where with a Medicare Advantage plan, if you go to a doctor out-of-network, not as an emergency would be covered, but out-of-network mm-hmm. and for non-emergency, you're responsible for that payment. So with yes. a supplement, that would be covered still.
And I wonder how it'll be interesting going through open enrollment this year. Maybe you noticed it also last year with people moving so much as a result of COVID, with all the migration and immigration in terms of, you know, state to state, whether that changes people's choices. I don't know if you've seen that at all yet.
Yeah, I have seen quite a lot of changes, actually, with people moving. And there are still opportunities for people who are moving other than the annual enrollment period to be able to make changes. If somebody moves, so they're living here in the Bay Area currently and they decide they're going to move to Nevada or Arizona. I know those are two really popular areas to go to right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to actually get a special election period due to the fact that they've moved to be able to review their Medicare benefits and make changes. So even if they are enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan, and that plan is only for their specific area in the Bay Area, if they move to Arizona, they're going to have an opportunity to find another Medicare Advantage plan in their new area that would cover them. And so there wouldn't be any penalty or loss of coverage in that regard. They would be able to they would have time to make that change.
And that's such useful information in terms of having those choices. In that situation, when someone's moving, how far out do you think that they should start looking at this particular issue of providing coverage in the new location?
So they have a 2-month window to be able to enroll in a new plan once they've moved. And the plans start, they always start on the first of whatever the following month is. So if you're moving in the middle of the month, you want to make sure that your coverage will be effective at the beginning of the following month or the second month after that. But you do have about 2 months or 60 days to be able to make those changes.
And as we round out today, Susan, one of the things that I've noticed shifting over the years, well, actually, I have two final questions before we get to that one. I was just thinking, the other is it always seems kind of ironic to me that dental, vision, and hearing are areas not included under Medicare when virtually every senior is in need of those services. Is there any change for Medicare where some of this is included in certain plans?
So yes, there have been a lot of changes in the recent years for dental, vision, and hearing, and specifically with the Medicare Advantage plans. One of the compelling or nice features of the Medicare Advantage plans is that they don't just cover the minimum of what's required by Medicare. They also have a lot of additional benefits. And within those additional benefits, often vision is included, hearing is included, sometimes dental is included, or it can be added in to the plan for an additional premium. But those options are available in many of the Medicare Advantage plans, and sometimes they're built right into the plan. So they're just part of what is being offered as that plan for the following year. So yeah, those things are changing. We're seeing more and more of those being available and better benefits being available for all of those as well, especially with dental. We all know how much dental we need as we get older and our teeth are not as strong as they used to be. We see that the dental services are improving vastly the last couple of years, and that they're offering a lot more coverage for dental than they have in previous years.
And finally here, one of the things that I used to notice is people got very happy when they turned 65 and could finally go on Medicare. And this often is true for those now who are paying their own health insurance, but for those who were on company-funded plans, it's the opposite. What do you find is people's most, or the surprises that they receive going on Medicare?
It really varies. And like you said, for some people who have had a completely funded company health plan, it's sometimes a shock. They you know, had this illusion of grandeur. They're like, oh, I just thought everything was going to be great when I went on to Medicare, and I didn't have any idea that there were these costs behind it. So it can be a shock to some people, and then some people are more well prepared and they understand that, yeah, there's going to be costs to healthcare. Unfortunately, healthcare is one of those programs that we know is not going to get less expensive. It continues to increase. But yeah, there are costs to your Medicare benefits. Part of the original Medicare Part A and B, the Part A you have paid for through your career, as long as, like Social Security, as long as you have worked 10 years or contributed 40 quarters, your Part A for Medicare has been prepaid. Part B everybody has to pay a premium for. So that's where people are like, oh, I didn't know I had a Part B premium. And then because maybe they're a high income earner, they learn that not only do they have a premium, but they have to pay more than everybody else because they've done well in their life. So that can be a shock to people. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. I don't make the rules. If I made the rules, it would be very different, and it would be much more simple to navigate as well.
Well, then you'd be out of a job.
Well, that's true.
Well, speaking of your job, I know that you have an offer for people who are considering Medicare and what you provide for them, or they're not considering Medicare, either about to go on Medicare or an open enrollment. And can you share with us what that is?
Yes. So when Esther asked me earlier about some of the things that I do with my clients when I'm working with them, all of those things I work with every client on. Reviewing medication lists, making sure that your medications are going to be covered, talking to you about your healthcare needs and maybe any conditions that you have currently that you're working with a doctor or a specialist with. We want to make sure that you're going to be able to continue those relationships with your doctors and specialists so that there isn't a break in your coverage. So those are things that I spend time with every client. And then I already mentioned the financial portion of it, making sure that you're going to be able to afford these services and the premiums, if there are premiums, once we get you enrolled in a plan. And luckily, there is an annual enrollment every fall, October 15th through December 7th. So you're never stuck with a plan. It's not like you make the decision once and you're done for life. We have an opportunity and an option to review every year to make sure you're still getting the coverage that you need, because let's face it, our health needs change over time, especially as we get older. So what is appropriate when you first turn 65 and you're healthy may not be appropriate 5, 10, 20 years down the road. So we might want to put you in a plan that has better benefits for your needs at that time. So every year we have the opportunity to review, but we start with that process at the very beginning to make sure we're getting you what you need.
Well, that's great, Susan. I think one of the things I've noticed over the years in the financial planning portion of my practice is how much we need other consultants to engage with and provide to our clients beyond our scope. So I'm so appreciative that you and I have worked on cases, and I'm sure the listeners can tell how much practical knowledge and information that you have. If people wanted to reach you, how could they connect?
The best way to reach me would probably be by my phone, which is 707-656-8457. You can also reach out to me by email, and I apologize, it's a very long email address, but it's my name, Susan Lucas, at myinsurancesolutionsinc.com. And if you don't get that, please feel free to reach out to Esther so that
that's right.
She can share my email with you, because it is long. And if you don't spell it right, I won't get it. So,
and I am happy to connect prospective clients with Susan, as well as if you're thinking you need to really look at your own financial planning and how your portfolio and all the different parts of your planning fit together to support your retirement, you can reach out to me at Esther@GatesPassAdvisors.com or go right to my website, GatesPassAdvisors.com, and hit the contact me button. Susan, thank you so much for all this great information that you shared with us today. It was wonderful having you as a guest.
Thank you for having me here, Esther. I look forward to helping any of your clients that are looking into Medicare or ready to enroll, or even just reviewing their benefits options. This is a great time of year for us to make this connection so that your clients get the benefit as well.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Susan, this was great. Thank you so much for being on the show. Of course, sharing this kind of information is so important. That's what Esther created this podcast for. And of course, Esther, thank you for bringing Susan on the show, because we wouldn't be here without you, for sure. And as always, our last thank you goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it really easy to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.